306. Luke Monaco here with you on The Fan. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go again. For the first time, a little Salt and Pepper. And listen, it feels like the last time that we listened to Salt and Pepper on the radio. It feels like the mid-90s. It feels like the New York Knicks are the talk of the town. It feels like back when we had an incredible team that we loved, an incredible team that was constantly playing the Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat in the postseason, and we are back in the Eastern Conference Finals. And tonight is game one. We've been waiting for it since Friday. And to me, this is as good as it gets. I love the opponent. There's so many different aspects to it. There's the revenge of last year. There's the revenge of Roy Hibbert. There's Reggie Miller in the building. The nostalgia of that 90s team with Rick Smits and Reggie Miller and Antonio Davis and Mark Jackson and just, you know, Schrempf. The list goes on. The list goes on. An incredible time in my life, an incredible time to be a Knicks fan. And for 20 years, 25 years, since the last time we were here in the Eastern Conference Finals, we've had ups and downs. I don't even want to say ups and downs because it's felt like one long down. And I know this team has been different since Brunson got here. And I know this is the third year of at least having one playoff win and one playoff round win. But right now, as we get ready for tonight, Madison Square Garden, game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals, a conference finals that they absolutely have every opportunity to win. You just heard Tibbs there in the update. It's not about home court. It's not about anything other than how this team is suited to play, how they did play against the Boston Celtics. And I heard Boomer this morning as I was driving home a little bit, and I completely agree. You know, there's been a narrative around the media a little bit as we get ready for this game that, you know, the Knicks, I don't know if you want to say lucky to be here or, you know, I saw one thing where they're, you know, the only team left in the four, the only team left of the four teams that, you know, didn't outperform their opponent in the in their playoff series. And like everything else that's gone on with this Knicks team, and I'm just baffled that anybody could have anything other to say but what an incredible series the Knicks put together against the Boston Celtics. Sure, were they down a lot? Yeah. Did they have to rally and come from behind and make winning plays down the stretch of games? Like, what is this about? Is it about domination? Is that the only thing that matters, or is it about coming through when it matters most? I thought that's what playoffs were about. I thought that's winning basketball, baseball, football, making the plays when it mattered most. The Tyree helmet catch. The Mario Manningham catch on the sidelines. Mr. October. I mean, Mr. October, three home runs in the World Series, or, you know, Luis Soho with a dribbler up the middle with runners on. Like, this, it's about coming through in those moments. And this Knicks team elevated their game. Sure, there were times where the game, you know, went south, and there were games where they didn't play well, specifically game number 2 and 5 in the Detroit series, and then clearly number 3 and number 5 in the Celtics series. But every time this team has needed it, every time they've needed to come off the deck, every time they've needed to make a statement, every single time, this team has done it. And they did it against the defending champs. And I don't want to hear about how they were compromised. You've got to be kidding me. I know Porzingis was going through something, and I know Tatum missed game number 6. But that's a bunch of garbage, because the same people who tell you that the Boston Celtics were compromised are the same ones telling you that Tatum wasn't necessary, and after game 5, the Celtics found something, and they expected the Celtics to come out and still have a very good chance to win the series. So please, forgive me if I don't give a damn what anybody thinks except the people in that locker room and us, the New York Knicks fans, because they deserve to be here. They're favorites in this series for a reason. And this is a beatable team and a path to a championship that we haven't seen in forever. And that's really it, because, you know, there's a couple things here. As I say all that, this has now also become a must-win series. Like, getting past the Boston Celtics was that plateau that nobody thought they could get to. Nobody thought they were capable of winning that series. Overcoming that, beating the Boston Celtics, advancing to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, beating the defending champs, doing what nobody thought they could do, is incredible. It's been as much fun. It's led to parties in the streets, and rightfully parties in the streets. It's been an incredible run here on The Fan. It's been an incredible run with the fan base. It's been glorious. It's been everything we could have hoped for. We've seen Jalen Brunson rise to the occasion and just further his superstar status and best closer in the game status and King of New York status and whatever other status you want from him. It's continued that. Karl-Anthony Towns has, you know, kind of come and gone with what we think about him, but ultimately the way he performed in game number six, this team, Tibbs, Leon Rose, it's been an incredible story culminating in this moment, but that's not good enough. It's not good enough. They have to go win this series because they can. And I don't know how often things change, right? Superstars go. Who knows where Giannis is going to be next year? Who knows where Kevin Durant is going to be next year? Who knows where anybody's going to be next year? Who knows what the landscape of the NBA, how healthy the Knicks will be, whatever the case may be. It has taken 25 years to get here. Now that they're here, they have to do it. And as much as I just said, Jalen Brunson has continued to further his greatness and up his standing in this city with this fan base. This is another legacy series. These series continue to be legacy series. If he, you know, if we're going to hold him up to this standard that so far it's felt like he's earned, this is another series. Like, we could talk about a lot of the game plan and a lot of what they need and key situations and key adjustments and key matchups that we think between these two teams and Halliburton and the speed and the athleticism and the transition offense that they provided at the Pacers and Halliburton and Siakam, who was a real problem for them last year, and the fact that they roll 9-10 deep and how important Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be in this series and their defense and blah, 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 blah. And all of that is true, and we'll get into it. But I still sit here today in the NBA that is built on superstars, and I am looking for Jalen Brunson to take over these games. Now, he doesn't have to do it every minute of every game of this entire series, but this is where legends are built. This is where you can't afford to lose. This is an opportunity to get through Boston, not have to play Cleveland, to have a team that they absolutely should have beaten last year, would have beaten last year if not for injuries. A team that's damn good playing in their second consecutive Eastern Conference Finals with a superstar of their own who's got a chip on his shoulder after being voted the most overrated player in the NBA. And they just took down the beast that is the Cleveland Cavs. And I don't want to hear that they were compromised. We all know they were, but it doesn't matter. But this is the first real path to an NBA championship. This is the first time we've gotten this close to the sun in 25 years. And it can't be squandered. And so, yeah, look, I think Karl-Anthony Towns is a huge factor. We see how this team is different when the offense is able to run through him, especially early, set the tone, be physical, get to the basket, play defense. I'm curious to see if Mitch Robinson and him being on the floor at the same time is something that they feel works in this series as much as they felt, as Tibbs felt, it worked in the Boston series, because Mitch Robinson has meant so much. But Karl-Anthony Towns, they are a different team when he's able to take over and take control of the game early on and have the offense run through him. That is going to be, I'm looking for that in game one. We're obviously looking for the defense from both the two wing stops, right? OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, and how important they are defensively. And being able to close out this team that likes to shoot, close out this team that likes to run. Like, they're a better team defensively, I think you could argue, this year because of Mikal Bridges at the end of these games and how he's been able to play. But really, you look at Leon Rose, You look at Tibbs. You look at how this team was put together specifically for this. Put together specifically to beat the Boston Celtics, and they did it. And you look at the additions of this team. You look at Karl-Anthony Towns, as we saw last night, Julius Randle go off in the first half of his Western Conference Finals game. Now, they ended up losing, but he was incredible in the first half, hitting 5 of 6 from three-point land. He was going off in that game. Minnesota jumped out to a lead. Like, the difference that the moves that were made this year to make this team a championship contender are right here, and they are at the forefront, along with Jalen Brunson, on whether or not this team can get this accomplished and move past the Indiana Pacers, who are an excellent team, but a beatable team. And now we're in heartbreak land. Like, now we're in where we get emotional as fans. Like, we went into the Boston series, right? We went in as a one fan base and we left as another. Because we went in as, it was a really hard-fought series against the Pistons, a lot of fun. But, like, let's be honest, nobody really expected the Knicks to win that series. And we went in hoping to make a series of it and make a run of it. They stole game one. And even then, I don't know how high the optimism was. But we went in as a team, a fan base of fun year. At least they didn't lose to the Pistons. Now we're going to try and take on the Beast, but ultimately let's make a series of it. Let's see where we are as a team. Let's see what adjustments we need to be made. But now, having made it through that gauntlet, having made it past Goliath, making it through Goliath, like having made that hurdle, now we get ready for a series that everyone expects us to win, that we believe we can win. And now the emotion is the anticipation, the excitement also has that little bit of tinge, that nervous energy. Because if they would have lost to the Celtics in 6, right? If they would have lost to the Celtics in 5, we would have been disappointed. We would have been convinced that last year's team was better. We would have been curious about the future of the franchise and what we can do to get better. But it wouldn't have been heartbreaking because we expected it. This is something different. This energy, as great as that series was and as incredible as those victories were, this is a different type of nervous energy because we expect to win. Because everyone's going to pick the Knicks in this series. We're all going to, you know, anticipate moving on to the first NBA Finals in 26 years. Like, this is what we're all expecting, what we're all anticipating. Now heartbreak is on the table. Now devastation is on the table. There is no safety net of, hey, they were the better team. No one's going to buy that. And these are the type of series that make kings. And we believe we have one. We believe we have a king of New York. We believe we have the best closer in basketball. We believe we have someone like we thought we had in Patrick Ewing to take us over the top and bring that first championship back to the city since 1973. We believe in him on another level. And this is the series he has to take this one down, send this Knick team back to the NBA Finals, and prove he is who we think he is. I'm not saying if he, you know, I'm not going to kill him if he doesn't. We're still going to love him, but this is where legacies are made. This is where heroes are born. This is going to be an incredible series. This is going to be one of the more fun times of our lives as Knick fans because, again, we've seen it. I don't know what the next 25 years bring. It's real nice to think that they'll be back next year and this is going to be just the beginning of a run of playing in these series year in and year out. I have no idea. I have no idea what next year brings. I can't wait for tonight. This is a huge game and a huge series, a huge moment for Karl-Anthony Towns, who was in the building Sunday night, was showered with love, talked about how important it was, grew up a Yankee fan, grew up a New York City guy, and right now he has a chance, and Brunson has a chance, and Mikal Bridges has a chance, and Hart has a chance, and OG Anunoby has a chance to become heroes in this town. Because although they never won a championship, Charles Oakley is a hero in this town. Mason is a hero in this town. John Starks, still at the games. Larry Johnston, still at the games. Latrell Sprewell, still at the games. Allen Houston, still showing up to these games, part of the organization. Like, You live forever. You do these things for the New York Knicks. You live forever. You have moments like this. You live forever. You put down the Pacers and head to the NBA Finals. It's a series about legacy and glory and obviously basketball and matchups and Tibbs. I mean, Pat Riley, because of the manner in which he left, maybe, and the nature of his brief stint, is probably short of you know, hero in this town, but Van Gundy will always be remembered. And when I think of that Knicks team, I think of the slick back hair, Pat Riley in his suit. Like, these are the, like, this has lived with us forever. It's time to have new memories. It's time to have new heroes. It's time to make it past the Eastern Conference Finals and get to their first NBA Finals and win their first damn championship, because they are capable of it, baby. And I haven't been able to say that. We haven't been able to say that in forever. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back with your Nick calls right here. Actually, you know what? We'll go right to the calls. Let's take a couple of Nick calls. I didn't see that we had some. Let's take a couple of Nick calls. Rob in New London. What's up, Rob?
C-Mac, well done on your monologue. Matter of fact, you really got me. I mean, now I'm more inspired than ever after waiting for that. I mean, well done. The preparation that goes into those must be quite extensive. So I just want to congratulate you on that. Oh, well, anyway, we'll talk about the Knicks. Now, look, first of all, that the 90s Pat Riley teams, I loved those teams, especially Xavier McDaniel. I never wanted a team to win. When we got the X-Man, I was like, oh, I was so happy, you know, that. And, you know, of course, NHL on the Sega Genesis. What else could you want, you know? Anyway, the Knicks, I'm telling you, I've been waiting a long time for this. I'm an Orange alum, and I feel responsible for the taint of Carmelo Anthony with the team. He was a great college basketball player, but, oh, God, the Knicks, you wish you could get rid of that. And I remember 2004, 2005 with Eddie Curry. Those two terrible. C-Mac, I never, ever thought we were going to be relevant ever again. I mean, it almost brings tears to my eyes that were not only relevant, but good. It's not smoke and mirrors.
No, this it's not.
We're a good basketball team, C-Mac. And anybody else out there who thinks otherwise, clearly they don't know anything about basketball and how important rebounding is. And the reason why we're going to win this series is because, guess what? We rebound the basketball better than the other team. In fundamental basketball, if you get the ball more than the other team does and stop them, you will win the basketball game. And that's why we won the last series, and that's why we're going to win this series.
I appreciate it, and thank you for the call. I understand. Listen, rebounding is very important, and particularly in this series, rebounding is going to be important because the last thing you want to do is allow the Pacers to go, you know, and transition into offense. You have to, like, you have to limit this team and their running ability. They're going to try and push it. They're going to try and run the Knicks into the ground. They have a bunch of different guys. They have, you know, 9-10 deep that they roll with. They got to try and slow that down. So rebounding is important, especially off long threes, because those long rebounds really lead to transition offense. So you got to try and limit that. So that's going to be a huge factor. I talked to Ian Begley on Sunday, and he talked about transition defense has got to be better in this series, and it's got to be a focus for Tibbs and this team. So rebounding is going to be important. Second chance points are always important. Offensive rebounding is always important. Karl-Anthony Towns has done a pretty good job of it. Mitch Robinson has done a good job of it. And that's really a place where the Knicks can attack. You know, they can really attack the paint right now. And I'm curious if they are. Now, look, again, it's tough because the Pacers want to run. So you got to keep up with them, but you also have an advantage with size and in the paint. So maybe they play the two bigs. I'm fascinated to see how they see it and how Tibbs is going to go after it. I'm kind of, you know, I can't wait to get into the series, right? Like Boston, it felt like we previewed it, we talked about it, we knew how many threes they put up, and then after that first game, we had a real good feel for what the Celtics were going to do and how the Knicks can attack it. Now, we saw this Pacers team last year, we saw them against the Cavs, we've seen You know, we know the problem Siakam was for them last year. We know what Halliburton has been in this postseason. But, you know, once you get in it, then you start to get a feel of punches and counterpunches. And I'm really looking forward to tonight and getting a feel for what this series is going to be, because I expect it to be a hard-fought series. I do not think the Knicks are going to be able to do this easy. Let's be honest. Let's be totally honest. The Knicks don't do anything easy. I would love to see four straight games of the effort they put forth in game number six, because I honestly believe if they play that game, the Pacers aren't beating them. But they have yet to been able to match that for really four games. You heard in the clip they just played in the update, Carl Anthony Towns said it. Like, they have really yet to put together a 48-minute start-to-finish basketball game outside of game number six, and that's tough to judge because it became a 30-point game. So, like, they have got to be better from the jump. You do not want to fall behind this team. You can't count on that over and over again. So we'll see. I think the first half of the first game is important. Like, I know it's obvious to say and cliche to say because that's the first thing we're going to see, but I truly believe you are looking, you know, the last thing you want to do is let the Pacers jump out to a lead. So we'll see. I think and I want to see Karl Anthony Towns get involved early. I want to see that Karl Anthony Towns we saw in game number six. I want to see him early. But I can't wait to get into the series and start getting an idea for how these two teams are going to attack each other, because I think you learned a lot from the first couple games of that series against Boston, and we really saw the same kind of thing throughout the entire series. So, like, there are adjustments in a series, but not dramatic ones. You know, sometimes you get in, you get a feel for exactly how this is going to go. And I can't wait for tonight, 8 o'clock, to figure out how this series is going to go. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. More of your Nick calls next on The Fan. All right. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning, as we fully transitioned into Knicks game number three tonight. Game number one, rather. I'm sorry. Game number three. Losing it. Knicks game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. And I can't wait for it. I'm pumped for it. And it's one of those series, man. The Knicks cannot lose this series. As much as we love them, as much as that was an incredible moment for every Knicks fan to beat the Boston Celtics, win that series, move on, have that party. I mean, that I still can't get over that Friday night. And you know what? I'm almost bummed that it came alongside the Subway Series, because it deserved its own thing. And I was really able to focus on it and just enjoy what, I mean, it felt like forever. And to have that moment, and I can only relate it to, and this is personally heartbreaking to relate it to, but the only thing I can think of, and there's probably more and better ones that I can think of, but the one that jumps out at me is the Red Sox in 2004, where that game was over early. Johnny Damon hits the grand slam, and game seven is over in the early innings, and the Red Sox and their fan base has, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours of just soaking up the idea they're going to beat the Yankees and head to the World Series. They're going to end the curse. Now, that curse was a hell of a lot longer, and they still have to go win a championship. But 25 years since the last time we were here, 25 years since the last time they were in an Eastern Conference Finals, that's a long time for a fan base that loves this team, for a fan base that's put up with not only just not being in the Eastern Conference Finals for 25 years, being at the bottom of the league, being an embarrassment, being a laughingstock, and probably, and Knicks fans, you know, we all follow the team, but it's hard to not hit some level of indifference after all of those years. It's hard not to have that same enthusiasm for the team as you're watching it go through these years of ineptitude time and time again. And this feels as, you know, as much as those mellow teams were good and had 50-win seasons, or had the 150-win season and Linsanity, and there were moments, it never felt like this. This is the first time we felt like this in a long time, and I cannot wait for tonight. 888 808-1019. Let's go to Falco in Weehawken. What's up, Falco?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Good, good. I'm actually a police officer. I'm on patrol right now, and I love listening to you guys while I ride around here.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for doing what I would not, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your opening monologue. I'm a Lakers fan, but, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. You know, I root for New York sports. And you said something about whether Jalen Brunson performs or not in this series, that, you know, we would still have love for him, so on and so forth.
On like some level, I'm a Lakers fan. But he has to win to, you know, I mean, like this is a legacy series for him. I mean, we'll turn around in next year and still call him the best closer in the game and still be excited about the promise of what he could be. But if he's awful in this series and they don't win, I mean, it's something that lives with him until he gets back to this point.
Exactly. So that's where I was going with it. At what point, as, you know, fans of New York and, you know, we're wishing success on the Knicks, do we accept, you know, failure? Because it seems like year after year, particularly the Knicks and me also being a Jets fan, we've come to accept and, you know, live with mediocrity to the point where it's just, you know, a day-to-day thing that we just accept. And, all right, if they lose, whatever, it is what it is, because we're so used to it. Especially now that he's got this big contract, at what point, you know, are we going to hold him, you know, accountable and be like, you know, this is it. You have to perform in these moments.
Yeah, no, I think right now. And thank you for the call. I'm surprised that's what you took. I know I said, you know, I was kind of just saying that we wouldn't necessarily hate him or blame him or you know, but like, he's got to win the series. That was mostly what I said. They got to win the series, and this is where legacies are built. And I mean, hold him accountable. I think we've been, you know, you're always holding guys accountable. I don't think there's any level of, you know, I mean, at what point now? He's got to win this series. The Knicks have to win this series. Totally agree. This would be a devastating loss now. I talked about this. There is no, like, when they went up 2-0 against the Celtics, devastating came into the realm of possibility. We haven't felt it yet. Hopefully we don't feel it. But now, no matter when this season, unless this season ends with a parade, devastation is upon us. Losing to the Celtics wouldn't have felt devastating because we had it conditioned in our brain that they weren't going to win. It would have been disappointing. It would have, you know, sucked. I'm not saying we would have all been happy about it. It would have been disappointing, but it would have quickly transitioned into, what do we have to do to get better? We knew we weren't good enough to beat this team. Like, how do we get better? With the trade was a disaster. We were better off last year. Like, that's what it would have been, but it wouldn't have been like a gut punch. It wouldn't have been sick to your stomach about blowing an opportunity, because we almost didn't even view beating the Celtics as an opportunity until they took the first two games, and then specifically in the manner in which they took them. Then it became, oh my God, they got to win this series now. They have a chance. They've done something special. They took the first two games in Boston. Like, they got to come out and win this series. Otherwise, now disaster and heartbreak is on the table. And in this, disaster and heartbreak are on the table. And you mentioned the contract. Jalen Brunson took less money than he could have. He could have waited a year and got a Supermax deal and made more money. Instead, he took the deal last year, gave them more of an opportunity to help bolster this team. And he's been the best closer in basketball all year. He's Mr. Clutch, won the award. It's not just Knicks fans saying it. The NBA said it. And, you know, it's up to him to go out there and to perform in this series like he's done in every other series he's been in. So it's just another layer of legacy. But, yeah, we hold him accountable. If he doesn't win, we held Patrick Ewing accountable. You hold Aaron Judge is certainly held accountable. Until you win, you're held accountable. But I mean, I don't know, we'd still love him and he'd still be on this team. We'd still expect him to perform next year, and hopefully the team will be built better if they lose this series. Hopefully the bench will be a lot deeper. Hopefully the role players on this team will be more significant. Hopefully Tibbs would have more options of players he could keep on the bench. But like, yeah, of course, we're holding him accountable. But we have faith in him, unlike many that we have faith. I mean, there are very few we have faith in the way we have faith in him. Let's go to my man, Mike in Merrick. What's up, Mike? Yo, Mike.
Yo.
What's
go
up?
Go, New York.
Yes, sir.
Knicks will take the base in four.
You going to Knicks in four?
Yep.
Knicks in four. I like it. Who's the what do we got? Brunson, the MVP? Who's the MVP of the series?
Yep, Brunson.
Yep.
And Knicks could be in four. When tonight?
Yep.
No, hear me out. Hear me out.
I will. Well, clearly, if Knicks in four, you intend them to win tonight, yes.
Yes, tonight and then Saturday in two at Madison Square Garden. Win on the road, that's three. And win another one on the road, game four. That's 4-0, baby.
That's it. You nailed it. That's what they would have to do to win in four. That's a sweep. That's a sweep, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You're on the record. Mike and Merrick has them sweeping the Indiana Pacers. Look, I actually have Knicks in six. I don't think it has to go seven. I don't think road home means all that much. I'm going to go Knicks in six in this series. I think they're the better team. I think they're capable of winning games on the road. They proved it. I don't know if home court advantage means all that much. I mean, if you have a game seven, you want it in your building, certainly. But it hasn't meant all that much to this team. It's more about I'm looking forward to them hopefully, doing what they have to do and closing out a series. And I think they can do that even on the road. So I'm going to go Knicks and six in this series. And I know everyone's going to pick them. How can you pick against them right now? Honestly, how could you pick against them? The Pacers are a really good team. It's going to be a hard-fought series. It's going to be a very difficult series. But if the Knicks can stay healthy, which was their issue last year, and, I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be a huge figure in the series. Mikal Bridges is going to be a huge figure in the series. But it's going to be Jalen Brunson. That's where this series is going to be, you know, won or lost. I'm really, really looking forward to tonight. But I think they've got to, you know, OG Anunoby's got to be a little bit more consistent offensively. He's kind of come and gone in the series offensively. I'm curious to see what happens with the Hakimich, because obviously the Pistons did it. The Celtics then, you know, celebrated it. And we'll see if that's something the Indiana Pacers continue. But I think Mitch Robinson is such a impact player. It's been amazing to think about where they are with Mitch Robinson right now. And because when Mitch Robinson was hurt and Knick fans were using it as an excuse, or I don't even know if excuse is fair, but to point to it when they were losing those games early on in the year to Boston and Cleveland and OKC, and it was like, well, you know, listen, our defense isn't there. Tibbs even called him the starting center. Well, our starting center is down, and all he makes such a difference defensively. And it was kind of, even by me, I was like, listen, I love Mitch Robinson, don't get me wrong. But you really think Mitch Robinson is the you think Mitch is the difference in this series? You think Mitch is the difference in beating the Celtics or not? And then you got to the point in the series, which I think I still point back to. To me, the key signature moment of the series in many ways, and the signature moment that defined the mental advantage the Knicks had over the Celtics, was when they were fouling him. I think it was game two. They're fouling Mitch Robinson to get him off the floor. Not because they wanted to put him to the line. They weren't anywhere near the bonus. They were fouling him to get him off the floor because he was killing them defensively and he was making life extremely hard for Tatum. That's when I knew. That's when I knew, man, they've got them on some level. Like, it's not just the Celtics collapsing, or it's not just the Knicks having a good little run. It was like they're presenting a problem that the Celtics didn't know they had to deal with. And then I remember Mitch Robinson saying in the post game, it's actually pretty cool. It makes me feel like a weapon or a threat, rather. I'm sorry, a threat. And it's like, yeah, he is a threat. And the Knicks are a threat. And the Celtics weren't expecting to have a threat in the series. And that's when I was just like, not that I knew they would win the series in that moment, or that I thought the Celtics would fold or that it was all over, but it was like a key signature moment where I was like, wow, the Knicks have the mental advantage in this thing. The Knicks are making adjustments the Celtics don't know how to contend with. The big, bad, defending championship Celtics, who dominated the regular season against the Knicks, who beat them in blowouts and close games, it didn't matter. They were going to beat the Knicks this year. Everybody said it. We all watched it all year. There was no doubt the Knicks had nothing for the Boston Celtics, and there we were fouling Mitch Robinson because the Celtics couldn't contend with him on the floor. And I said, that's a dramatic mental shift in this series. And it was really something that just changed everything for me. Let's go to Jeff in Fort Lee. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris. What's going on, my man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, before I get into this excitement that you were mentioning earlier about the Eastern Conference Finals, I actually went to the celebration Friday night. I left my house in Jersey, had halftime. I'm like, yeah, this is going to happen now. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. And that was for the second round clinching series. I actually thought I was going to die from a stampede. It was, you were packed in like a sardine. So I'm not even sure how New York City would handle a championship celebration because, I can't even begin to imagine it. That's exciting. But, also, I'm not sure if you watched the Western Conference Finals tonight, but neither team looked all that hard to beat. Like, they looked just like any other team tonight. Did you watch any of the games?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I watched the game. I saw Minnesota have a really good first half. Obviously, Randall really went off. I think he was 5 of 6 from three. He played a really great game offensively. And then, you know, SGA kind of took over in the second half. I think he ended up with 31 points. A 114-88 performance. I mean, they did have a dominant second half, and OKC has been the best team in basketball really all year. That is not going to be an easy series. Like, are they beatable? Sure, they're beatable. I don't think – I said that before. I thought the way they were able to take care of Boston and the manner in which they did it, I don't think there's another obstacle that the Knicks can't overcome. So, I think the Knicks can win the NBA championship, but – I don't know about not that impressive. I mean, because they were down at the half, I believe. Yeah, they were down 4 points at the half, and they came out and dominated in the third quarter and turned that game on a dime. So, listen, they're talented. They've got size. They've got length. They've got arguably the best player in the NBA. So, I mean, it's not going to be an easy series if that's the case. Yeah. Plus, and again, I've just talked about how I don't know how much home court advantage really plays in these series, but obviously that's the one team that left of the four remaining, or the three remaining, because the Knicks are one of the four. So the three remaining that they wouldn't have home court advantage against. So that would be a very difficult series.
So you were mentioning earlier about how this feels like a 90s run. I'm not sure if you're similar to my age. Like, I'm in my 40s, and watching a Bulls, Knicks, Pacers, Knicks, Heat, Knicks playoff run, like, it just, I'm starting to get that same feeling, and it's like 30 years later, and it's just, it kind of gets me back into the sport, because for the last 25 years, we've been in the weeds, and I'm not sure where this is going to go long term, but I think for the next 3 years or so, we're at least locked into this team, so we're going to be on this plane for a while now, unless something catastrophic happens, knock on wood. But it just, I feel like a kid again. It's really enjoyable. And I imagine you kind of feel the same way.
I completely agree. And it's been, and thank you for the call. It's been a lot of that nostalgia. It has. It's been a lot. And especially the Pacers now. And again, what made the Celtic win so great, and I talked about this too. You mentioned the teams that were the Bulls, the Pacers, the Heat, right? Those were really the teams that the Knicks constantly ended up battling against in the playoffs. And for me, the Boston Celtics and the Pacers are another team. The Pacers are really good. The Pacers absolutely can beat the Knicks, as the Pacers did back then. But the Pacers are very much the Pacers of that generation with Reggie Miller. The Pacers are the Miami Heat of that generation. The Pacers are the Bulls without Michael Jordan. The Boston Celtics and how we felt about the inability to beat them was like the Jordan Bulls. Now, I'm not trying to tell you Tatum or Brown, who's obviously now dealing with meniscus or, you know, had a meniscus injury throughout the series. Like, I'm not telling you they're Jordan or that this Celtic team is as good as the 90s Jordan team, but it reminded me, it was the first time, even compared to those 90s teams, it was the first time they had a victory of that level where they beat a team that they couldn't beat. They went into every Pacers series back then with the ability to beat the Pacers. There was no question. Reggie Miller was an absolute beast. That team was so physical, and you knew you were in for a fight, and they could lose it, which they did. You went to the Miami Heat. Miami Heat was a tough team, well-coached, superstars on it. You could beat them. You could lose to them. It was a matter of how you were going to play the series. When you went up against the Michael Jordan Bulls, you weren't winning. You weren't winning. Nobody expected them to win. They weren't winning. There was no doubt Michael was going to win the series. The Knicks could not beat the Bulls as long as Jordan was there. And they always lost to him. And this was like that in the manner of they can't beat the Boston Celtics. Can't beat them. Can't beat them. Not that they're as good as those 90s Bulls teams or that they're as good as the Michael Jordan-led team, but they were deemed to be a team the Knicks couldn't beat. So I think, as much as you say, I can't imagine an NBA championship, I don't know if the streets are going to get any crazier. That might have been the zenith. That might have been the apex. That might be as crazy as it can get. Because, again, they won a series that nobody thought they could win. They beat the Jordan Bulls. It was the equivalent of that 90s team beating the Jordan Bulls. This team beat and won a series that nobody thought they could win. This series is different. They can win this series. They're favored to win this series. They have the home court advantage in this series. Last series was something different. Now, this is still nostalgic, and yeah, it brings a lot. I mean, I can't stop thinking about that 90s team. I can't stop thinking. I wish we were back on NBC now. I wish the NBA playoffs could do the NBC now. In fact, you know, maybe we'll play a little bit of that of the 90s NBA music that we can't wait to hear again next year. Like, I'm getting all of those feels. There's no doubt about it. Knicks, Pacers, Eastern Conference Finals, Reggie Miller on the call. Cannot wait. Cannot wait for tonight. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll have an update. We'll come back. Reset Knicks here as we are locked and loaded for game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Right here. McMonagle with you on the Fan. We'll come back, take your calls all until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.